Psalm 23, we looked at this last week. Psalm 23, we looked at verse 1. Psalm 23, verse 1. I'm going to read the chapter, and then we'll do a quick review. How many, I'm just curious, and maybe I asked this last week, but how many have memorized in your lifetime Psalm 23, absolutely the most famous psalm in the Bible? How many have memorized that in your life? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you've memorized Psalm 23. Okay. So a third of the room. This is your homework. This is your homework for this sermon series, is to memorize Psalm 23. And so I memorized it in the King James. And so that won't help us right now because I'm going to read it in the New American Standard. So the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love this chapter. And I will tell you, that I'm just being very honest about that probably I've never learned more preaching something I thought I was so familiar with than I have as I've prepared for this. And verse 1's the key. Verse 1 and verse 2 are the key to understanding this chapter. And it seems really basic, but I think last week, so I was just going to review, last week was an important discipline to work through. The Lord is the Lord, self-existing, self-sustaining God, a God that he's it's impossible for God not to exist. A God that must exist. He's so powerful and so great. He must exist. He's self-existing, self-perpetuating God. A God that is glorious. A God that is big. We talked last week, creator God that created everything that we see. Big God, creator of everything. Creator of everything. We're talking about abortion the last few days, and doing this event next week, and we're opening up the church to pray, and we're encouraging you some of the things we're encouraging? Not to shop, to wear black that day when you're out. Just some very practical things, just to kind of keep our minds on this abortion issue, because we want to take a stand. We want to take a stand here that God is creator. He's the giver of life, and he takes away life. And so we stand absolutely unequivocally against man taking on that role. So we are against murder, and we're against baby murder. Okay, God knew you before he planted you in your mother's womb. He had a plan for you, and it's prideful, arrogant, sinful, desperately sinful heart that would say that we have a right to kill babies in the womb. Because God is creator, big God, big creator God, and that's who we're talking about, the Lord. That big God is my shepherd. And this is the real question is from last week. Can you say with any real credibility that God is your shepherd? Can you honestly say that? It's such a beautiful verse. It's a beautiful, beautiful verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lose that. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay. It might be beautiful, but are you applying it? Can it be something that you can say, absolutely, the Lord is my shepherd? And then we talked about, I shall not want. If this is true, or when this is true, then you can say, I shall not want, which better translation is what we said last week. I will not lack. I will not lack. So when the Lord is my shepherd, what happens? What happens is, I'm in need of nothing. I'm in need of nothing. And we said this is very tricky because it isn't saying this. It isn't saying that God supplies all your needs. God's word says that, and we can find that elsewhere. So that is a true doctrinal truth that God can supply your needs. But that isn't what this is saying. This is just talking about this. God is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. He's mine. He's my shepherd. The God of the universe is my shepherd. And because that's true, I lack nothing. Not because he provides me with everything, but because God is enough. Because the fact that I have God as my shepherd is all I need. I lack nothing. I don't want anything else. So I have, does that make sense? Now, this is important. If you don't get this, then you don't get the chapter. You don't understand the chapter. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I don't need anything. I lack for nothing. There's nothing else. There's no other desire that I have in my heart. So therefore, I don't want. I've got everything I need. The only desire that I have, the only idol in my heart is God. I have no other idols before me. There's nothing else in front of me that I want. I don't need anything else. I don't want anything else. God is sufficient. He's enough. He's the treasure in the field. He's the treasure in the field. And I've sold everything that I have to get that treasure. I have Jesus. He's enough. I do not want. I do not lack. Everybody with that? You following that? It's a key. This is key important. Now, so I got it. What do you have it just in your head, or is it a reality in your life? Because everything from here on that we read doesn't apply to you as a beautiful, because we preach it in funerals. Okay, listen. This is a beautiful passage, absolutely. But it's not meant to be beautiful. It's meant to be real. It's meant to show the kind of life that people can have when they found Jesus, when the Lord is their shepherd. This is the kind of life that you can have. This is the kind of reality that I have. When God is my shepherd, I don't need anything else. I don't need anything else. He's enough. That's all. That's my goal. That's the idol. That's my idol. That's the idol of my life. That's the idol of my... He's it. There's no other false idols. There's no other passion that I've got that's greater than God. I don't need anything else. There's nothing else gonna steer me away from Jesus. He's my shepherd. And so the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Is I'm about to ruin communion this morning. I'm about to spill everything. What is it? What are we talking about? Okay, here's what you have. Here's what you have. I have surrendered my kingdom to God's kingdom. I'm no longer in charge. The Lord is my shepherd. Everybody here? Are you hearing that? Are you hearing that in your heart? Not just with the words I'm saying, but do you understand? Do you understand that if you're going to credibly say, the Lord is my shepherd, you have no other God before you. You've got God as your idol. He is it. I'm going this direction. Nothing else is steering me. Oh, okay, this little temptation over here, that means nothing to me. I don't have anything that I lack. I've surrendered my kingdom to his kingdom. I don't need to be in control of my life. God, I'm perfectly satisfied knowing that a God that created everything, that loves me, that died on the cross for me, I'm perfectly satisfied in giving him my kingdom, surrendering it to his. I'm perfectly satisfied in that and following him. And everything else that the devil tries to, and that the world tries to get, lure me away from that reality isn't going to work. I lack nothing. I lack nothing. So a person, verse 2, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack, verse 2. A person that's true of, a person that can say what we just said, that has a reality in their life that the Lord is their shepherd, this happens. What is happening here? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. What in the world? What in the world? He leads me beside quiet waters. So I've thought about this passage. I'm really excited. I've got so much in my mind. It's gonna be hard for me to keep it straight. You know what I'm saying, Karen? I'm so pumped about this. I don't know where to go. So it's just so cool. The Lord's gonna have to help me with this message a little bit because there's so much here. So somebody that's true of, I do not lack for anything. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. What we're talking about here is a basic satisfaction in Him. Notice. What kind of sheep? So let's look at what He's saying. What kind of sheep lie down in, get the picture, this is green pastures, lush, green, beautiful green, long grass everywhere, just the kind of grass that you would want to eat if you were sheep, okay? The kind of grass that if I'm a sheep, I'm like, look at all this green grass, I've got to get to it. A person that has the Lord as his shepherd and does not want is completely satisfied in Jesus. I would contend to you that sheep do not often lie down in green pastures. They're usually eating in green pastures. I would contend to you that a sheep that is around quiet, they're really nervous about roaring waters. They're scared of it. Sheep that are around quiet waters are drinking water. Sheep that are around green pastures are eating green pastures. Okay, well, what are we to then believe? Well, here's what I think is happening. Somebody that trusts God, that has surrendered your kingdom to God's kingdom, is completely satisfied in Jesus, and we don't need green pastures. We're satisfied, and there's nothing else that's going to get your attention and that's more important than God. We're not interested in the green pastures. We're interested in the shepherd. And part of the key in life, get this, this is important. Part of the key in life is to love the shepherd more than the green grass. There are Christians in this room right now that when good times come, Jesus is as far away from your mind as the man in the moon. You're not thinking about Jesus because it's good times. And the only time that you're around God or have an interest in God is when things are difficult. Okay? But I would contend to you that you aren't the kind of person that's made the Lord your shepherd. Because when it's good times, all your attention is on the grass, all your attention is on the water, and you're not paying attention at all to the shepherd. A person who loves the Lord and is satisfied in Him is satisfied in green pastures, but still has their eye on Jesus. Does everybody see what I'm saying? So there's a satisfaction about the life that we have in Christ. It's not about the green pastures. I was thinking about this week. When you're satisfied in Him, what do? You love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? We've talked about this a little bit. But this kind of is important to this. So when you love God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind, when you love God, basically what this verse is talking about, when God is your shepherd, and everything about your life is kind of encompassed with who Jesus is. And it doesn't matter if you're in the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't matter if you're in green pastures. Your thing is Christ. Your thing is, God is my shepherd. Also, I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's all that I need. And this occurred to me. So this is just kind of extra. You want extra today, like a bonus? This is a bonus. So always think about, we talk about it all the time. How does a person that loves God, what do? They love their neighbor. They love their neighbor as thyself, the two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. It occurs to me this week that the reason that's true, the reason why you're able to love your neighbor, when you love Jesus with all your heart, soul, and mind. Well, what's that mean? That means that he's all I need. He's my shepherd. I love him with all my heart, soul, and mind. There's nothing else that's got any of those affections. There's nothing else that grabs those affections. When that's true and you can truly love God, then you can love your neighbor. Even if your neighbor hates you, even your enemy. Do you realize why? Because you don't need anything from your enemy or your neighbor. There's nothing that they give you that you need. You can love them without strings attached because you love Jesus. That's all I need. That's all I need is Jesus. I can love everybody else because I don't need to get anything from them. There's nothing that I need to get from them to make me feel satisfied. I can love them without any conditions because my satisfaction is in Christ. Is everybody following that? That's powerful. Why is it, God, that I can't love that person? Well, the reason why you don't love people very well is because you don't love Jesus very well. If you love Jesus very well, and that's all that you need, and you're satisfied in him, then you can love other people without having to get anything back from them. The love of neighbor is contingent on, if we're going to do that well, we need a church who's satisfied in Jesus. That's satisfied in Jesus, that you love Jesus such that he's all that you need, and you need nothing from anybody else because what they give you doesn't. But I could tell you, in my own life, so many times in my own life, my friendships and the people that I love, I don't love them when they don't give me back what I feel like I need. Well, it's a one-way street. I'm always giving to them, but I'm not getting anything back in that friendship. Well, hold on. What do you need from people that you don't have in Christ? What's wrong with your heart that you need something filled up in here that Jesus isn't giving you? What is it in us? And so this morning, this is a question that we have to ask. How much we can see if we love God and are satisfied in him based on that reality in our life is going to show up in all kinds of ways, not the least of which is the relationships that we have with others. If the reality in my life is I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind. In other words, the Lord is my shepherd. I am satisfied in him. When that's true and I'm satisfied, I don't need green pastures. I don't need people. I don't need people's adoration. I don't need people's anything that they feed me. I'm satisfied in him. And then I can just give and give and give. And my satisfaction comes not from my relationships. They come from Christ. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. I wrote this down. I've already said it, but the key is not to love the grass, but to love the shepherd. The key is not to love the grass, but to love the shepherd. I think people have, in the church, sometimes, and I'm guilty of it, my idolatrous heart wants comfort, easy times, no anxiety. And I'm seeking after peace of mind. I'm seeking after all kinds of things. I'm seeking after green grass and not seeking after Jesus. Can you see how twisted that is? So if I can get in the green grass, then I can be satisfied in Christ. No. Satisfied in Christ first. Then you need nothing. Satisfied in Christ first. Then everything else will be, then you can be satisfied even in the green grass. when we get in green grass, we get in times of Kelly and I, there are times in North Carolina when I'm telling you, it was discouraging to be a church planter. Discouragement. I mean, discouragement. Church planters can be discouraged often. You're putting so much energy and effort. We would get up at, I've told the story before, but we'd get up at 6 in the morning. We'd get our kids up out of bed. We'd be at the church at 7 o'clock, and it was church in a box. We had to set out all the chairs. Micah, at 10 years old, was setting up, at 8 years old, was setting up sound systems, was getting PowerPoint ready. The girls are putting out chairs, we're putting out curtains. We're doing all the stuff that church in the box. And enough of that, you start getting discouraged. So, man, people don't appreciate all that we're doing in ministry, and why don't these people do that? They don't even have kids. We got three kids. We're getting them out of bed and at church at 7 o'clock. I mean, all the despair that can happen, and then finally started to grow, and then people started taking over those responsibilities. And I remember being so satisfied in ministry. Oh, okay, finally, we got people pitching in, and all that, and boy, and I look back at that and think, I was never satisfied in Christ. I was looking for circumstances to satisfy me, and all wrapped around ministry. No, the thing is, if the Lord is your shepherd, then you're satisfied in green pastures, and you're satisfied, and you're content, and you're assured in, and I don't want to preach this message yet because that's for next week, but in valleys of shadow of death. Your satisfaction and your livelihood and your well-being and your mental well-being and your emotional well-being don't depend on your circumstances. Good times. And this is really tricky because that's an easy message to play out in the valley, but there are a lot of people that aren't satisfied in Christ in the pasture. Actually, I would say that more. How many? We don't want to take a pop quiz here, but how many people during good times? How many people during good times are as thankful and seeking after God as we are in bad times? I would say idolatry happens more in green pastures than it does in difficult times, because in difficult times we're after God absolutely. God needs to bail us out, but in good times we're not even thinking about God. Oh, the challenge is to love Jesus and to be satisfied in Him in green pastures, because that tells you something about your true heart condition. It doesn't matter how good it is around me, and my circumstances are great, and that's good, and I'm thankful, and I'm happy, but my joy comes from Christ. My joy does not come from, and I have to listen, my satisfaction and my well-being. Listen, this is important because shows some of my sinful heart a little bit. My joy and my well-being do not come from when my kids are well and they're healthy, when my kids obey, when none of those things should impact. And yet for us as parents, it's like, oh, my kids aren't this or my kids aren't that. Listen, all those are superficial, and they have nothing. Well, Chloe right now is sick at home. She had 102 a fever, and last night I remember part of me wanted to be my reaction is to get full of anxiety about that, to not be joyful in the middle of that, and that's just my own sinful thing, and I knew, and I'd been meditating on this passage all day as I prepared for this message today, and it was just a check for me. It's like, hold on, I am satisfied in Christ right now. And I'm just like, Lord, help me be satisfied in You. Help me to be full of joy in You. Help me to not be dependent on circumstances, to be happy and content. Help me to be content in bad times, and help me to be content in good times. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I wrote this. John Piper is one of my favorite authors. And we're almost done this morning, but he wrote this. He said, sin is what you do when you aren't satisfied in him. You ought to write that down because it's absolutely true. Sin is what you do when you aren't satisfied in him, in God. That's a very simple definition. When I am not satisfied in God, I start looking for anything else that satisfies me. I start looking for this little thing over here to satisfy me. I start looking for this to satisfy me. Part of parenting is a responsibility to make sure that you teach your kids that no matter what circumstances they undergo, that they are satisfied in Jesus. Your circumstances have nothing to do with it. And if they're not satisfied in Jesus, they're going to find other things that satisfy them. Root of sin. Root of sin. I'm not satisfied in Jesus, but surely this thing over here will satisfy me. Surely having a lot of money. Surely that should be my goal in life, to have a lot of money, because that's going to satisfy. No. Be satisfied in Jesus. Money's not going to satisfy you. And so if your goal in life is to seek after money and to seek after that, hey, listen, newsflash, you're not going to be happy. And not only that, but that has become an idol to you. If your goal in life is to protect your capital, in this conference this week, this counseling training that I did this week, they were talking about this a little bit and talking about, there's a mom. This guy was counseling a mom, and like she was having tremendous problems in her life, insofar as she was scared to death that her children were going to get molested. So everything in her life was wrapped around trying to protect her kids. Well, that became a marital problem because everything in her life was so focused to that. It became a marital issue. It became an issue with their kids, that overbearing thing. And finally, the counselor said, hold on. Your kids have become your idol. You have ceased in making God your idol and trusting him that God loves your kids more than you do. You've made your kids your idol. They can be very... This is the trick because we all have families. Listen, but your family's not where your satisfaction is. Jesus is. At some point, if God is your shepherd, and you're seeking after God, this stuff doesn't happen. Sin is, you sin when you're not satisfied with Jesus. How many things in your life this morning, everybody in this room, light bulbs should be going off. Light bulbs should be going off. The stuff that easily besets you, the stuff that you're seeking after, start tracing that back to the heart. I think you'll determine in your own life, yep, I can see. My satisfaction is not in Christ. My satisfaction is not in Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I found it interesting. He makes me lie down in green pastures. It's not that God. It's not that God is saying, this is what I thought, right? Carrie, lie down in green pastures. Lie down in grief. That is not making us do it. No. The reality of God coming to bear in my life, the reality of how good God is, the reality of how awesome God is, the reality of how he satisfies the reality of how God satisfies me, that reality brings me to a point where I lie down in green pastures. So God's not making us lie down in green pastures. We are so full of the reality of God in our life, and God is so good. We've tasted of how good God is. Well, when you get that taste for God, God is good, then and you really get that. You really get that. I mean, like, it's, you know, you who's the prophet says, the prophet in the Old Testament, I remember the prophet says, I used to hear about what God did, but now I've seen it. Now I've seen it. There's something I've seen how good God is. I've tasted it. I've seen it. Okay, when that reality really gets you, that's the turning point. That's when I can start to learn how to live for Jesus. I can start to learn to let Him lead. I can surrender my kingdom to His because God is good. God has the best intention for me. And I've often said it. I've said it so many times. But listen. The thing is, we don't have an accurate view of God. We think God is not doesn't want to. We think God is there just trying to dominate us. He doesn't have good things for us. Part of this is it's just not knowing. We're deceived about who God is. So when we really taste how good God is, then all the other stuff's nothing. So all I need is Jesus. All I need is Jesus. I can be satisfied in Him. Jesus has died for all. I'm holy and righteous in Christ. God is so good. Man, He's all I need. He's the passion of my life. I would say, with just knowing me, that there are not many people. This is me. I'm not throwing stones because I don't know your heart. It's just my assumption that in American church 2019, is that what year we're in? 2019. In the American church here, 2019. Churches are filled with people that are not satisfied in Jesus. That is not their passion. They come to church for all kinds of reasons, but not because they love God. Dare I say that there are pastors that haven't made the Lord their shepherd. We need to take a real. This is serious now, because I've spent 2 weeks on two verses, and the reason is because I think it's very important for us to understand. If we don't have that, then what we're talking about in verse 3 next week is totally nonsense. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Listen, that means nothing to you if the Lord is not your shepherd. And so we have to get this. Is God my shepherd? And if so, I lack for nothing. And if I lack for nothing, I'm totally satisfied in Him. My prayer is that you will be a people, that our church will be a church that's satisfied in Christ. He's our all. He's our all. He's the thing that we're living for. He's my treasure in the field. He is my shepherd. And I won't want. And I'm satisfied. And if that's not you today, I want to pray for you. Say, God, help them to taste. Help them to taste of Your goodness and see that God is good. That's what I want for you, and I hope that so teenagers in this room, you've got a lot of decisions. I always strikes me, teenager 15, 14, 13, 18, young people in this room, but particularly 15, 16, 17, 18 year olds, they're going to make almost every important decision. Almost every Micah 17 in the next 4 years will make basically every important decision, the rest of his life will be determined by the kind of decisions he makes in the next 4 years, right? And for some of you younger, in the next 5, 6, 7 years, you're going to start making decisions that's going to determine the rest of your life. Most of us in this room already made those decisions, and you're reaping your reward for the way that you've chosen to live your life. Okay, but we have some people in this room that are about to make decisions that are going to determine the rest of their life. Listen, don't be a fool. Make God your priority. Because if you do that, and only when you do that, will you be satisfied. Truly satisfied. Otherwise, you're going to be chasing wind the rest of your life. You're going to be chasing after anything to make you happy. And right in front of you is the God of the universe saying, be satisfied in me. And then there's a room full of people in this. There's a room full of people that are modeling for our kids not making Jesus your all. And you are teaching them by example what it is to seek after everything but Jesus. God help us. We have a responsibility. Young people, make Jesus your all. You won't regret it. You will not, don't be foolish like we were. Make Jesus everything, young people and older people. It's not too late. Make Jesus your shepherd.